In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'd like to speak with you today about St. Stephen, as we are gathered for a deacon's meeting. St. Stephen is called by the Church two titles, the Archdeacon and the Proto-Martyr, the first martyr. He's also called by scriptures, as is the rest of the seven deacons that were chosen in the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7, the story and the witness of St. Stephen, that he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. In the beginning of the church, the holy apostles started to preach, and primarily they focused on the Jewish believers. They went into the synagogues and they started to speak to Jewish believers concerning the Messiah, the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, in whom was the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Some believed and some resisted. Now, the Jews were not just living in Jerusalem, but there were also some living abroad. Many of these Jews who lived abroad spoke Greek language. They were Hellenists. Now, as the mission started to spread outside of Jerusalem and the disciples started to preach in the diaspora all over the world, or basically in Asia Minor and in Europe, some contention started to occur between the Jews who were primarily speaking Aramaic, and between the Hellenists, the Jewish Hellenists also, who were outside of Jerusalem, who primarily spoke Greek. And much like this day and age, where, let's say, you have immigrants, the first generation immigrants, who are coming from the motherland, who speak their mother tongue, versus, you know, people of the same belief system who have been living in the West, North America, or in Europe, who might be primarily speaking the language of that land. So the apostles came together and they said that, what was this contention? Concerning rituals, concerning language, concerning habits. Now the widows of those Hellenists, or those who were living outside of Jerusalem and speaking the Greek language, they thought that their provisions weren't taken care of. So the disciples and the apostles sat together and they said, how shall we resolve this problem? Well, the best way to minister to the people of the land, to the Greek-speaking Jews who are starting to believe in Christ and convert to Christianity, is that we are going to appoint for them seven servants. And that's the meaning of diakoneia, is a servant. Deacons are servants. Or in other translations, they could be seen as distributors, okay, or waiters, right? And that in itself is the first lesson for us as deacons, that we are not here to minister to ourselves only, but we are here to serve or to minister to those who are around us. The ministry of deacons is not only to sing or to lead in the church, but to be an example to the rest of the believers and to give them their provisions and to provide for any individual whatever that they are in need for. So the church came together and they set certain criteria for choosing these seven individuals. Again, they said that these seven men, they should be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Acts 6, chapter verse 3. And again, I ask the question. You are choosing seven men basically to provide for the needs of widows. That means they give them food, they serve for them food, they take care of their daily sustenance. Anyone can do it. You bring someone from the street, he can do it. Why is there certain criteria in choosing these particular men? Why do they have to be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom? Well, the answer is very simple. It's that their ministry goes way beyond their calling. Yes, maybe they are called to provide and give tables and give food and serve food to the widows. But the chance will come when they will stand in front of dignitaries. They will suffer for the faith. They will witness in front of non-believers. And they need to be ready for this moment in order to speak about the reason of their faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the second lesson we learn here. As deacons, it's not only about, you know, coming in time and learning the hymns and learning the tunes, which is very important, and it is one of the cornerstones of being a deacon, singing in harmony. But it is so essential that each and every one of us should have a deep and a loving and a caring and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's inevitable. Many of us are serving in Sunday school. Many are involved in so many other services in the church. Many of us, or all of us, would be living in the world, whether in work or at school or with friends or colleagues. And we should be ready to witness at all times. We should be of good reputation, as these men were. They were able to stand even in front of the Jews themselves. St. Stephen stood in front of the Sanhedrin, and he was able to recall the history of Israel and how they murdered or they killed the Messiah, the coming Messiah who was coming to save them and to redeem them. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And if we look throughout the Holy Scriptures, we find that in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, individuals who were close to God always were led by the Holy Spirit. From the Old Testament, priests and kings and prophets were anointed with the holy oil. And as they were appointed with the holy oil, the Holy Spirit of God came upon them. And He gave them direction on how to lead the people. In the New Testament, we find, especially in the Gospel of St. Luke, every single individual who is seeking God's help is being led by the Spirit. Look at Simon the Elder, that he was directed to the temple by the Spirit. And when the Spirit came upon him, he witnessed to God and he spoke about the coming Messiah and he prophesied about the Lord Jesus, that He is the Savior of all the nations, not only of the Hebrews, but of all the nations. Behold, a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. Every single step that he is taking by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, our Lord Himself, was walking and being led by the Spirit. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. These men took on the same spirit of the church, which is having a true and an honest and an authentic relationship with God, and they let Him lead them into their life, their witness, their every step. Was it easy for them? Definitely not. It was very difficult for them. But the Spirit of God united them together, despite their differences. Notice that all the seven deacons were of Hellenist origin. All these names were not Hebrew names. Stephen, along with all the other deacons. In verse 5, And the sayings pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. A proselyte meaning that he is a convert from Antioch. So again, they were able to get over their differences, and they worked together as a team in order to glorify God Almighty. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. This is the calling of each and every deacon, to be full of faith. Because your service is not only bound by the four walls or in the four walls of the church, but definitely it will go over and above and beyond. At school, we will meet friends and colleagues and we'll have chances to witness. How are we going to handle these situations? In the park or in sports activities or with fellow congregants and members in the church, how are we going to witness? Are we going to project the true image of Jesus Christ or not? Notice that St. Stephen was in many ways similar to our Lord Jesus. He loved him so much. He spent a lot of time with him in prayer, being led by the Spirit, so that his mind became Christ's mind. His voice became Christ's voice. His image itself, his looks became just like Christ. His words became like Christ. At the end of his life, they saw, after he told the Jews their history and how they have missed Christ and how he was their savior, everyone looked at him and his face was so bright. His face was illuminating. Do our faces illuminate in the divine liturgy? Do our minds, even if our faces, our hearts illuminate when we stand there in praise to mean every single word that we are saying? We don't want to give God the praise or the honor of the lips or of the mouth, but we want to give him the praise and the honor of the heart. The divine liturgy and the midnight praises and the prayers of the church, they are so deep, they are so beautiful. There are so many theological meanings in them and spiritual meanings in them. Sometimes because we are busy with order or, you know, everything and who is here and who's not, and, you know, when do we have to bring the censer, when do we have to do certain things, we tend to forget the spirituality and the depth, and that we are standing in front of the throne of God. This is so important that we don't forget the beauty of the place that we're standing in. This is the place where the angels are present and they are hovering above the host. They are praising. We are praising with the angels. You are adorned in white garments to represent the luminous angels in heaven, the seraphim and the cherubim and all the heavenly hosts and choirs. We are standing in the presence of Christ himself, the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. He is our Savior and he is our Master. And this is why I want to encourage you that in every service of the church, take a few moments just to close your eyes and to offer a prayer to God and tell him, Lord, I thank you because you have given me and you have entrusted me with this ministry, which I'm not deserving. And give me a little bit more depth today to get to know you. Pick up a word or two from the readings, from the Pauline epistle or the Catholic epistle or the Acts or the Gospel or the Psalm, and meditate on it. Think about it a little bit. What does that mean to you? How can these words be relevant to you? And this way you'll find that as you are getting closer in the knowledge and the love of God, you find that your face will illuminate like St. Stephen, as he was there to witness to God in front of the people. They hated him for his witness, and this is what Christ said to all of us, that because of your witness they will hate you, and they will cast you out of the synagogues and out of the different places for my name's sake. But the person who endures till the end, this person will be saved. They cast him out of the city, and they started to stone him. But it was amazing that as he was being stoned, he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he imitated the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It was the Lord Jesus who said these words before. You think it was easy? It is easy to be persecuted and to be stoned and to be hated and to love your enemies. This will not happen unless we have this personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless we spend quality time with Him in prayer and in reading the Scripture and in serving and picking up the right spirit of Jesus, in knowing Him truly and honestly, not just from the, you know, shallow and just a basic knowledge, no, an intimate knowledge, knowing that He is Savior, that He has loved me so much to the point that He went up on the cross, that He was willing to forgive the people who insulted Him and spat in His face and whipped His back. They did all this for Him, and He still loved them, and He asked for their forgiveness. If St. Stephen hadn't reached this level, he would never be able to say, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. If St. Peter hadn't loved God so much and was willing to witness to Him in the whole world, he wouldn't be willing to be crucified upside down. All the disciples wouldn't be able to give their lives for Christ if they didn't have this beautiful relationship with Jesus. And this is our calling for today. To be like our intercessor, St. Stephen, a man full of wisdom and of the Holy Spirit and of faith, a true and an honest person. This week, I had the blessing of visiting His Holiness Pope Shenouda in Cleveland. And when we entered into Sayyidina's room, you can see the love of God in his eyes, even though his body is ailing a little bit. He was sleeping. It was the first time for me to see him not standing up. But his spirit was fiery. He still had the same zeal and love for God that he's ever had. He was quoting us scriptures, right, left, and center. And he was encouraging the clergy around him to keep working and to be strengthened. And sometimes ailment, God permits sickness that we may be humble a little bit, that we may, you know who we truly are, and that God's grace is what upholds us and uplifts us. And in a way, I felt the same spirit as St. Stephen. I saw a man who is, even in his weakness, he's so strong, because he's had this intimate relationship with God all his life. He truly knew Him. He truly lived with Him. And that's why even on the sick bed, he's able to witness to Him. And what I love so much about His Holiness, that he is the exact same person in a private room, in a private meeting, or with thousands or tens of thousands of people. One and the same person, loving, caring, giving, very abundant and in his love and his attention that he gives to everyone. He's a beautiful example of our forefathers who have truly lived with God all their lives. St. Stephen today is a witness of someone who was a Jew, but he had another citizenship. St. Stephen, he is this man who was able to get over and above and beyond differences in language and in cultures and witness to God in his own way and to be just like Jesus. He imitated him. He looked like him. And due to the persecution that happened afterwards, so many people were dispersed all over the world, and they started to witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. A man filled with faith, with the Holy Spirit, with strength and of love of God. May the blessing of St. Stephen be with us today and always, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.